Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. And I want to tell you right out of the chute this morning that today is going to be a phenomenal program. You are not going to want to miss a single second of what we discuss. And I would encourage you, if you would like to grab your phone and call a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, family member, and encourage them to join in. They're going to be blessed by what we're going to discuss today. We have got a lot on the program that's going to be centered around what took place in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. I was privileged to be there. Our special guest that I will bring aboard in segment two was a critical component to what took place in Washington, D.C. And friends, I'm telling you, your hearts are going to be blessed. You are going to be encouraged beyond belief as we share with you what we were able to be a part of in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to phrase it this way. Senate Chaplain Barry Black made this statement. He said, "I believe there's going to be a revival in America, and I believe it may start right here." Well, where is the right here he's talking about? Friends, you're going to be amazed as we share with you what he said, and I tend to agree with him that the revival may begin precisely where he predicts that it will begin. But friends, regardless, we need the revival in America. We were granted a respite on November 8th, but it is a revival that we are praying for in this country. And you're not going to want to miss any of this. And if you'd like to pick up your phone and give us a call, beginning in segment two, make a comment, ask a question of me, of Dr. Gary Dahl, who's on the program today, or of our special guest, we would be thrilled to do our best to try to answer those questions or respond to your comments so that those that listen to this program all across the nation and literally around the world can reap the most benefit from the program today. Well, Gary, I was gone a good portion of last week because of what was going on in D.C. I sure missed you guys, but it is a delight to be back aboard. And Gary, there's a lot of great things going on in and around Washington, D.C., around the country. And one of those things that I think that we need to kind of talk about a little bit here in segment one before we get into the meat of the program today, and that is what Donald Trump has been doing as he is traveling around the nation to some key states in what he is calling his post-election thank you tour that basically commenced yesterday. And yesterday in Cincinnati, Ohio, he announced, not formally, that's going to take place, I think, either today or Monday, but he let the cat out of the bag that he has nominated retired General James Mattis, known affectionately in military circles as Mad Dog Mattis, as Secretary of Defense. And Gary, here is the way Donald Trump described Mattis. He said, "He is the closest thing to General George Patton that we have." And he said, "It's about time. It's about time we have someone like that at the Defense Department." Mattis is 66 years old. He is known by his nickname Mad Dog. He retired from the military in 2013 after serving as the commander of the U.S. Central Command, otherwise known as CENTCOM. And his appointment to run the Pentagon would require a waiver from Congress, since federal law requires that military personnel be retired at least 7 years before taking a civilian position. And the defense secretary position is a civilian position, not a military position. Gary, this is not the first time there's ever been a waiver from Congress for something like this. It happened with General George C. Marshall in 1950 and 1951 when he became Secretary of Defense. So this is not an unprecedented move at all. But Gary, I want to go to you and ask you about two things. Number one, the fact that Donald Trump is doing this thank you tour, this in and of itself is unprecedented. He is by no means obligated to do anything like this. But does this to you not say what it says to me is that Donald Trump is genuinely interested in accomplishing the people's work in Washington, D.C., not his own agenda? And I think that's reflected in the fact that he's taking the time. He's running the risk. And I'm talking about the security risk of going to these cities and just saying thank you to these critical cities in these critical states that put him over the top and made him what he is now, and that is president-elect.
Well, Dave, I do think that it shows who Donald Trump is. And, you know, as we've talked on this particular program, many times when people see him out on the television, as the media would portray him, He seems to be rough and tough. And, of course, he is sort of rough and tough, as he was born and raised in Queens there in New York City. But he also has a great measure of humility and appreciation for the people. And I think this idea of him going around on this thank you tour, it's not a victory tour. Some of the media was trying to refer to it as a victory tour. It's not that. It's a thank you tour. I think this shows, number one, how he is very grateful unto the American people who put him in office. And it also shows, David, and I believe this more and more, that he's a people person. He wants to be with the people. When he's with the people, I think he's in his glory, as it were. And, you know, some of the media has been saying, you know, this is not good that he's not had any press conferences or many press conferences since he was elected. But he's going right to the people. And that's the kind of a president that we need. You know, a people president is what's going to get the work done. And as I said yesterday, Dave, on the program, he's done more in the last 3 weeks since he's been elected than Barack Obama has done in 4 years, the last 4 years in office. Goodness gracious.
Well, Gary, I could not agree with you more. It is absolutely amazing. He is not actually president yet. He's just president-elect. And yet what he's doing is absolutely amazing. And, of course, he has future rallies that he's going to be holding in other battleground states, Pennsylvania, Florida, North Carolina, and Michigan. And the details of those particular thank you rallies have not yet been announced, but they will be shortly. But, Gary, it is an amazing thing that he's doing. I think it says a lot about who he has become. And again, we have talked many, many times on this program leading up until the November 8 elections that Donald Trump is on some sort of spiritual journey. Some have said that he has professed faith in Christ. But Gary, I think this is a continuation of this journey that Trump is on that we're watching right now. This is, again, unprecedented. No president has gone around and expressed thanks to the people for voting for him in these critical battleground states like Trump is doing. So that is in and of itself historic. Gary, I want to ask you this about this James Mattis nomination. Secretary of State is perhaps the most critical cabinet position. Second, I would say, would be Secretary of Defense, which is the position for which Mattis is being nominated. Gary, I want to say it. I'm impressed. I am impressed and pleased with this, as well as the other cabinet appointments that he has made thus far. Let me ask you this question. What do you think the Mattis appointment says, or the Mattis choice says, number one, to the Islamic world, number two, to world leaders, number three, to Israel, number four, to the Democratic Party, and then last but certainly not least, what does this appointment say to the establishment GOP?
Well, certainly, I think trying to put all that together, it shows us that we've got a man in there who is strong on defense. He's the type of an individual who loves his Marines. He has a humble attitude towards his Marines. He's going to be working along with our allies, but he's going to be strong against our enemies. And I think that to all of those components that you mentioned there, it's showing that we're going to have a man in there that's going to be strong on defense and going to build our defense. And we need that in the United States of America today more than ever.
Well, friends, we would like to talk more about this, and we will in the days ahead. However, when we come back from the break, segments 2, 3, and 4, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., what happened this past week, early part of this week, that is absolutely going to blow you away. It was an amazing thing. Please don't miss it after this brief timeout.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A 33-year-old conquistador landed in Mexico with 500 men. He was shocked to find the Aztecs taking prisoners of the weaker tribes, ripping their hearts out atop temples, and in a frenzy eating their bodies. This conquistador freed the prisoners, knocked down the idols, and erected crosses. His name was Hernando Cortez, and he died this day, December 2nd, 1547. His personal secretary wrote, "Cortez told them of their blindness in worshiping many gods and making sacrifices of human blood. He told them of a single God, creator of heaven and earth, whom all men should worship and serve."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I hope you and your family had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I just finished writing a lengthy letter to friends and partners of the Pennsylvania Family Institute detailing how, in this most recent legislative session, we the people defeated one of Governor Wolf's top agenda items, which we call the bathroom bill. It was quite a serious and significant battle, with religious liberty and personal privacy at great risk should the legislation have passed. But thankfully, folks all across Pennsylvania got involved and spoke up, led by communications resources and strategies produced here in our shop at Pennsylvania Family Institute. It's an inspiring story about how Christian citizenship can make a difference. I'd love to send you a copy of my letter. Just call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1 to request a copy. Again, our phone number is 1-800-FAMILY-1. And you can also go to our website for details at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I want to give you our call-in number today if you'd like to call in segments 2, 3, or 4 and make a comment or ask a question about the topic that we're going to be discussing, and that is what took place in Washington, D.C. this past week and what we believe is the beginning of a phenomenal thing taking place not only in Washington but around the United States of America. That call-in number is 877-667-1180, 877-667-1180. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, make a comment, we'd be delighted to take that call. And I know we already have callers on the line. We haven't even begun to set up this segment yet, but I want to do that right now by welcoming to the program Dale Walker, who is the president of the Tennessee Pastors Network. And he and I were in Washington, D.C. together, along with a group that he brought, a group that I brought, and a host of other people that were part of an incredible event this past week in our nation's capital. We're going to get into all of that momentarily, but Dale, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be back on the program, Dave.
Well, Dale, I want to go to you and ask you to set up what happened, or tell us a little bit about what happened, rather, as I set up the segment. Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, there were approximately 100 of us that had the privilege to attend what was called a congressional clergy town hall, and it was an opportunity for 20 of the most committed Christians in Congress to speak to us regarding what is now happening in Washington after the historic elections of November 8. However, what was slated as a town hall, I believe, developed into much more. From the after-hours tour of the United States Capitol to the amazing service that was held on Wednesday evening in the Capitol building, the entire 3 days, Dale, and I think you will concur, had the breath of God on it. Most memorable for me was the Tuesday evening prayer service and praise time in the Senate chamber. And then again on Wednesday night, we had a prayer and praise time in the Capitol Rotunda. And Dale, to hear prayers being offered up, and I'm going to use this phrase from the Bible to describe the praying, with strong crying, both in the Senate chamber as well as in the Capitol Rotunda. Both of those evenings in those prayer and praise times were astounding. And then to follow those intense times of supplication with the unrestrained strains of God Bless America that echoed through the Senate chamber and through the rotunda of the Capitol, it was beyond stirring. And I want you to do this, Dale. Tell us a little bit about how this meeting got started. I know you were involved in it from the very beginning. Tell us a little bit about how all this came about, and then give us your comments on your reflections on what took place.
I was invited, Brother Dave, by my representative, Diane Black, here in Tennessee, to come up, and she hooked us up with Brother Dan Cummins, who heads up the Jefferson Gathering at the Capitol. We spoke several times. We finally worked out a day, and as you well know, working with Congress, it certainly was hard to get a room. He had shared with me in the Senate building, and it's amazing. We were in the Kennedy caucus room. This is where the Watergate hearings were. This is where the Titanic hearings were. And here we're on Pearl Harbor, and for you evangelical leaders out there and church members are listening to us today, here we are, a group of pastors and evangelists and ministry leaders sitting in this room, and we're listening to representatives like Barry Loudermilk from Georgia that came in and talked, and Louis Gohmert from Texas. And they, as Brother David said, this just pretty much turned into a revival, almost like a pastor's conference. And they were thanking us for being there, their appreciation for their prayers. It just breathed a breath of life and a breath of hope. I've known that every pastor that I talked to that we brought up and every individual that we brought up left Washington, D.C. encouraged, and that indeed the hand of God is still on this glorious nation.
Well, Dale, it's a delight to have you with us, and I'm thankful that you and Brother Dave were able to be there. On the program, I believe it was Wednesday, I had Jimmy DeYoung with us, and I actually said that you guys were in Washington, D.C., draining the swamp. and so I hope that what you had to do down there was actually contributory to that. But I know it must have been a blessing. As the individuals came and spoke to you men there during the day, is there one common theme, Dale, that ran throughout their messages?
Well, I believe so. They were all seemingly, a large portion of them were amazed at the turn of events of this election, and that, well, I believe one of the main themes is that God has given us another chance and another opportunity in America. And, you know, I remember what Representative Barry Loudermilk said from Georgia. He said, if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves right back where we were. And we've got a major responsibility as pastors from the pulpit. We heard the statistics of pastors dealing with issues from the pulpit. This is what the Pastors Network that we all serve in across America is part of, with American Pastors Network, Tennessee Pastors Network, North Carolina Pastors Network, our other states that are out there. And Barry Loudermilk, Representative Barry Loudermilk, also said on repealing the Johnson Amendment, he asked, are we going to do anything with it? And the resounding theme was they were looking at us as pastors and faith leaders to go back to our communities, to go back to our churches, to go back to our congregation and pray for them. Senator Ted Cruz asked that we pray for peace and wisdom, that we pray for them. And as pastors, we have got to get into our pulpits, and we again have to thunder that righteousness exalteth a nation. And that was the thing pretty much that I came away. What did you come away with, Brother Dave?
Well, let me jump in and just say this. I concur, Brother Dale, completely. Gary, I saw three things that ran through every single person that spoke as far as their comments. Number one, that what happened on November 8 was God's miraculous work. There is no other explanation for it other than the fact that God did something to turn the tide in this country from an electoral and political standpoint. Number two, the incredible expressions of gratitude on the part of everyone that spoke, these Christian congressmen and senators who said, thank you, pastors, thank you, Christian community, for doing what you did and coming out and voting after you had prayed so earnestly and so diligently. And then the third thing I heard was this, and Dale alluded to it very eloquently, and that is this: we cannot fumble the ball now. We cannot stop now. We cannot do what we did back in 1980 after Ronald Reagan was elected. We basically said, we got him in. Now let's take a breather and step back. No, that is not what we can do this time. We must advance forward. We must escalate our prayers. We must pray for revival in America. We've gotten the respite. We've gotten the reprieve. But now what we need is a full-fledged, heaven-sent, nation-changing revival.
Well, you know, that's tremendous to hear you men say that. And first of all, of course, you know, the Johnson Amendment, just to remind our listeners, is the foundation of that. It's an amendment to the IRS code. It's a foundation of the concept that preachers cannot endorse a candidate or say certain things over the pulpit. And many preachers have hidden behind that over the last several years. And I think you said, Dale, that it was Louis Gohmert who said that if that's overturned, what are we going to do with it? I just pray that preachers, if it is overturned, the preachers will take the opportunity and strengthen their pulpits. It's the pulpits of America that made this nation strong, and it's the pulpits of America that will make this nation great again. Not just Donald Trump's statement, but it's the pulpits of America that will make this nation great again. And Donald Trump is certainly supportive of that. But one comment I want to make is this. As a board member of the American Pastors Network, and I'm using this word right, in the right sense, I am very proud that you, Dale, and you, Dave, were there, and you were a part of that. Dale, I understand you basically led it. Dave, I understand you preached on revival, and to have that footprint of the American Pastors Network right there in the capital of the United States of America causes me to shout and rejoice unto the Lord and say, to God be the glory. Thank you, men, for being there.
Well, Gary, we appreciate that so very much. I want to say this for the benefit of Dale, because he's on with us today. But Dale, you did a phenomenal job organizing the Wednesday evening prayer gathering. It's called the Jefferson Gathering. They meet every Wednesday evening there in the Capitol building. And this particular Wednesday evening of this week, Dale, it was your responsibility, your privilege, your honor to structure it. You brought in the special music, you selected the speakers, and there were a number of people that spoke on Wednesday evening. All of it was just absolutely amazing. And friends, I want you to understand what we witnessed in that room was unmitigated praise to God. It did take on the flavor of a revival meeting. In fact, earlier in the day, the congressional briefing with us as pastors, the town hall, took on a flavor of a revival. And Dale, I think you would probably agree with me. Louis Gohmert is a congressman from Texas, but I think he's actually missed his calling. He didn't just talk to us in that town hall. He preached to us and just did an amazing job. And then Senate Chaplain Barry Black spoke as well, and he is always stellar. But Gary, it was an amazing, amazing time. I know we have just about 30 seconds before we have to go to the break. Then we're going to pick up some phone calls in the next segment. But Dale, I want to ask you one last question. If you have time to answer it, please try to do so. Why was this event this week in D.C., the nature of it, the magnitude of it, why do you believe it's so critical at this particular time in our nation's history?
Well, I believe it's extremely critical, Dave, simply because of the state, our nation, where we have denied God and we have basically kicked God out of every important faction of our lives in our society.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. Critical, critical timing. We're going to be talking more about what happened, statements that were made by our elected officials, and their attitude post-election when we come back in segment three. Again, friends, if you'd like to give us a call, the number is 877-667-1180. And for those of you that are holding, stay with us. We'll be to you following this brief timeout. And when we return on the other side, we're going to be talking more about the revival that is coming to America and where it may start. Don't miss it.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The presidential recount, which Green Party nominee Jill Stein wants, is facing some legal challenges. The Michigan Attorney General, Republican Bill Schuette, filing a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court to halt the request, saying Stein can't possibly win.
In a state where President-elect Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton by almost 11,000 votes, a recount is happening in Wisconsin, and efforts are also underway in Pennsylvania, though Stein has not come forward with evidence that suggests that the election was unfair.
Fox Radio's Jeff Minasso. Some people getting a first look at what's left in the wildfire-ravaged city of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. 12 fatalities, directly disaster-related. One death.
Not as a direct result of the disaster, but had a heart attack. I think they were fleeing.
Sevier County Mayor Larry Waters, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, again, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull. Our special guest is Dale Walker of the Tennessee Pastors Network. We're talking about what took place in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, an absolutely phenomenal time. It was labeled as a congressional town hall conducted primarily for pastors and ministry leaders. But, friends, it developed into much, much more than just a congressional town hall. It turned into, as Dale Walker said, a revival meeting both on Tuesday and especially on Wednesday. Absolutely an amazing time. And friends, you had to be there to fully appreciate it. And hopefully one of these days, if you're a pastor, ministry leader, or even just an interested Christian, and you'd like to go on one of these trips, you can let us know here at the American Pastors Network. And we'd love to do our best to facilitate trying to get you into D.C. at one of these events to see what it is like. But gentlemen, I have been involved in Washington, D.C. as far as from a ministry standpoint, 3 crusades on the National Mall, 2 crusades inside the Pentagon, 15 years of ministry now involving also one-on-one ministry with members of Congress. So I have been on the Hill. I have seen the attitude of congressmen, congresswomen, senators, and so on. But I have never seen and experienced and felt what I felt when I was on the Hill over this past week. There is a spirit of anticipation, a spirit of excitement, a spirit of enthusiasm, the likes of which I have never seen before. And Dale, I think you probably sensed it and saw it as well. It's absolutely amazing. Normally when you're in D.C., there's a cloud of darkness that hovers over the city. There's discouragement. If you're a committed believer in Jesus Christ, I see a lot of those walking around frustrated, head down, wondering, you know, what's going to come at us next. I didn't sense any of that in Washington, D.C. this past week. I sensed and saw the exact opposite. It was absolutely amazing. Now, we're going to talk more about that, some of the comments that our elected officials made to us that were part of this town hall. But I know we've got a caller on the line who wants to make some comments. And so, Mac, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. Thank you for calling in. Mac, are you there?
Taking my call. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call, Dave. Something that Gary Dole and you both said about his appointing Mad Dog, and I agree, is a retired Navy vet, served 20 years. It's great that he appointed somebody. He's not worried about appeasing the enemy. He's worried about putting fear in the enemy and taking care of us and making a statement that we're going to defend this country. We're going to weed out ISIS, and we're going to attack them, and we're going to make them pay for attacking us. And we don't care if they like us or not. That's irrelevant. We want to go after them. We want to stop them and declare them as enemy and wipe them out and defeat them. And by his appointing somebody like that, it makes me as a retired Navy guy very happy, very pleased, and content with the fact that we have a commander and that we're going to get a commander in chief that cares about defending our country and not being an appeasement to the enemy. And I'm extremely pleased because, like I've said before, come back from the Persian Gulf and having come when others didn't that I knew, it's really a blessing to have somebody in there that Vicky Marcenko and other spec ops can be proud of, knowing that he's got our backs. And I would like to say one thing. A really good movie, I finally watched it, is The Green Beret. And it is the first, I think, in the first 15 minutes when the press is asking a Sergeant Muldoon, that's a liberal press, why are we over there? He explains it very, very well, and I would recommend that as well as High Noon for Coward Pastors. But I'll just listen to you. If you have any questions or comments, I would love to talk as well. But I really appreciate your taking my call and the fact that he's doing it right by appointing people that are going to go after the enemy.
Well, Mac, we appreciate not only your service to our country, but we appreciate you calling in. Let me just, Gary, draw a little bit of an application here with what Mac said. While we were on the Hill, and Dale, I don't know if you know where this building is located, but literally off Capitol Hill, probably a block or less away, is one of America's foremost enemies, and I'm going to use that terminology because I believe they are enemies of the United States of America, and that is the organization known as CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations. And my son, who was with us in D.C. last week, made a comment to me. He said, Dad, there's been a lot of activity going on around the CAIR location, a lot of cars going in and out. And because of the proximity of CAIR to where our new office is located on the Hill, as well as the headquarters of one of our allied ministries on Capitol Hill, Nathan was observing that this week. And he said, Dad, it's almost like they are deeply concerned and are scurrying around like you know, roaches or rats or some other, I'm going to use the term vermin. I'm not calling them vermin, but they're scurrying around like concerned individuals, concerned that Donald Trump is now president and that he wants CAIR labeled as a terrorist entity. Gary, let me go to you before we jump back over to Dale and talk a little bit about what happened spiritually up on the hill. But isn't it significant to you that the enemies of America appear to be somewhat on the run, as it were, because of the Donald Trump presidency that is looming?
Oh, it certainly does. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, over the past 4 years, the enemies of our nation, whether you're talking about Islam or any other enemy of our nation, has basically been appeased by this Obama administration, you know, leading from behind, whatever that means, and not taking a strong stand. So I'm glad to see what they're doing. And David, as you were talking there, it just dawned on me how many ministries there are around Capitol Hill. And I thought of four, but there are many, many more, from the Bible Museum that's going to be opening up down there in the mall, right up to where you and Hope on the Hill is located, and others. There are a number of Christian ministries surrounding Capitol Hill. That's great. And, of course, with CARE right down the street in their location, certainly they're going to do everything I can imagine to strengthen their efforts. But there's a real spiritual battle going on up there at Capitol Hill for which we must pray.
Well, Gary, that's an interesting observation you made. I hadn't really thought about it in that regard, but just talking geographically of where the ministries are, there is our ministry, which is on the Supreme Court side of the Capitol building. You've also got Faith in Action in the nation's capital there. And then if you go on the, I guess it would be the south side of the Capitol building, you have the Center for Christian Statesmanship, which right. is the ministry headed by Dr. D. James Kennedy, who is now with the Lord. And then there are other ministries. And so in essence,
National Prayer Caucus.
National Prayer Caucus. Exactly right. So basically,
Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, Jay Sekulow is in the area where our office is. So basically what you have is you have Capitol Hill now circled, surrounded, as it were, by Christian ministries. And what I pray, Dale, is this, that these Christian ministries and the pastors of America will literally encircle, surround the Capitol and those that serve there, encircle them in prayer, and that literally the Capitol will become off limits for the forces of evil and the forces of darkness. What do you think, Dale?
Absolutely. It's the pastor's responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. And they pleaded with us these past few days to pray for them. While I was preaching and speaking the other night at the Capitol in the Ways and Means Committee room, I thought about the verse in Psalm 78:4 that the children of Ephraim, being armed, they turn back in the day of battle. And folks, we're in the day of battle. And I forgot which representative said this, but said we are living in the world is more dangerous than ever before. And we have to remember this, that as the church, again, we've got a reprieve. We've got an opportunity to stand up and make a difference. I think of what Marsha Blackburn stated in regards to, she come on and she's a representative here from Tennessee, and we certainly appreciate the stance that she takes, standing against federally funded abortion dollars, and she spoke in regards of her stance to get that out of the federal funding. And then I spoke in the Capitol the other night that here we have our elected leaders that are willing to step up and stand up for the unborn, and they're willing
Amen.
To speak out against
Amen.
The company that are lobbying against our Christian values. And then I brought up about how churches and pension plans. I had a man as part of the Free Will Baptist organization that was with us there the other night, and he and I was in their headquarters calling them out for their dirty holdings, and they literally threw us out, demanded that we leave their headquarters. So we have got to stand behind these elected leaders. If the elected leaders are going to stand, surely to goodness, the churches can stand up and clean up their coffers and stop funding these companies like the 379 that signed, I believe, the amicus brief on the Obergefell versus Hodges case last year, gutting traditional marriage. If the church don't stand in the gap this time and be holy and be pure, the church is going to lose its last chance.
You know, Dale, the point you're making, I think, is one that needs to be made. And repeatedly, Gary, we heard these congressmen, senators say, it is not up to us here in Congress. It really is up to you. the pulpits of America, the Christians of America, stand up. We have this window of opportunity. Let's not lose it. Let me read a couple of the statements that were made and who made them during this incredible time that we spent on the Hill. Congressman Barry Loudermilk of Georgia said this, quote, "If we are going to win America, the war will be won in the pulpits of America." Steve Daines, who is a senator from Montana, said, "The answer to America's needs is the Church of Jesus Christ and the men who stand in the pulpits." And Amen. Then finally, my friend Louis Gohmert from Texas said, "For pastors to hide behind the statement, 'God is in control,' is like leaning on a shovel and expecting a hole to appear." No, we have a job
Amen,
to accomplish.
Louis.
And wow, it was an amazing, amazing time. Friends, when we come back for the final segment, we're going to talk more about what God did, and then the statement made by Senate Chaplain Barry Black about the revival he's convinced is not only coming, but where it's going to start. You're not going to want to miss this. Absolutely amazing. Join us after this time.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Hello, folks. By now, you've heard of the death of Cuban leader Fidel Castro, a revolutionary communist leader who led Cuba from 1959 through 2005 with an iron fist. Castro's rise to power came after he and revolutionaries like Che Guevara overturned the ruling Batista regime and instituted a one-party regime based on the failed Marxist-Leninist theory of world change. Of course it failed, as Marxism always has and always will. Castro's rise to power included mass murder, torture, and suppression of human rights. Nevertheless, across the world, godless intellectuals who should know better are hurling him as a great leader, even though he has murdered tens of thousands of his own people and have left Cubans earning an average of $20 a month. Understaffed hospital facilities offer patients beds without sheets. Misguided world leaders who have hurled Castro, a great leader, include Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, former President Jimmy Carter, and thousands of uninformed and ignorant college students who think Castro and Che Guevara were great men to be emulated. Poor fools. Isaiah 5:20 comes to mind. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. The only good thing I see is the irony of God removing a communist leader on Black Friday, a day symbolizing the freedom of capitalism.
Learn more about Dr. Carol Swain at BeThePeopleTV.com, CarolMSwain.net, and on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain, Ph.D.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
One of my favorite people on Capitol Hill is definitely Senate Chaplain Barry Black. He's a former Rear Admiral of the Navy, prolific author, and an outstanding preacher of the gospel. And he spoke to us on Wednesday morning out of the book of Daniel, a message entitled 10 Times Better, which is basically a new book that he's written. But Senate Chaplain Black evidently concurs with my assessment that there is a revival on the way. And he added this particular component, which kind of shocked me. Dale, it may have shocked you a little bit as well. But he said he believes not only will revival come to America, he believes it will commence, or it will start, in the halls of Congress. Now, Dale, let me ask you this question. What's going on, in your estimation, in Congress that convinces him not only that revival is on the precipice of coming, but that it may start among our congressional leaders? Did you see something over the last week that convinces you that he may be accurate and correct on that assessment?
Well, absolutely, Brother Dave. And I was just thinking about what Charles Finney said. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, it's the pulpit's fault. So we can absolutely do the reverse of that. If God rules in the halls of legislation, it's the pulpit's benefit of being there, being on site and standing up and speaking the law of God to our elected leaders and praying for them. So it's been the absence of the pulpit is the reason why Satan has ruled in the halls of legislation. And I think it's apparent to Admiral Barry Black, you know, the Senate chaplain that you just mentioned there. I think it's obvious to him that there is a move on by seeing groups like ours come to Washington, and we come and we pray. What was moving to me was when we got on our knees in the Kennedy caucus room, and we prayed and we asked God to forgive the pulpit of America that did not stand up and speak up and become involved. And as I looked around that room and saw folks on their knees crying out to God from the Kennedy caucus room in the Russell Senate building in Washington, D.C., I believe it's things of that nature that speaks to the heart of that chaplain to see that.
Well, and not only that, Brother Dale, but also on Tuesday evening when we finished our tour, our after-hours tour of the Capitol building with David Barton, probably America's premier historian, certainly premier Christian historian, we went into the Senate chamber as the guest of Congressman Louis Gohmert. He's the one that got us in there. He spoke to us briefly, and then we got on our knees in the Senate chamber. And it sounded almost like a labor room as people were crying out to God for the revival that Chaplain Black believes is coming and that we believe is coming. And to do that in the Senate chamber was an absolutely astounding opportunity. And again, it puts an exclamation point on the Senate chaplain's assessment that the revival is on the way and may indeed begin in the halls of Congress. We have a caller on the line, Ed. Ed, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. You have a comment to make about our discussion of what's taking place in Washington, D.C.
Yes, thank you. I've been calling quite a bit of times, but I want to thank you guys for being there, and you and Dale for being there, and letting American people know what's going on. I wish that you guys would print the paper that it's in every newsstand in the United States, telling the truth like you do. Or when you guys go to these meetings, have it broadcast on a radio or television. I know it costs money, but I think the American people would fund that. I really do. The know to hear the truth.
Ed, that is an excellent suggestion. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for saying sic 'em, as it were, to Amen. Dale, to me, to Gary, and to Sam, and to all of those of us that are part of not only the American Pastors Network, but we're part of the family of God. We're part of the army of righteousness. And, you know, Gary, that is an excellent suggestion that Ed has made. And in future events, perhaps depending on the nature of the event, we can live stream some of this, Gary, and the American people can be notified of that. Our listening audience here on Stand in the Gap Today can be notified, and they can watch in and see some of what we get to observe up close and very personal.
Well, I like that idea, and I appreciate Ed giving us that suggestion. And, you know, Dave, we have done some live streaming from Capitol Hill. That's not a problem. And so, Ed, that is something to take into consideration. I think the Capitol, that the people would enjoy hearing that. And the reason why I say that, Dave and Dale, is this. How many times do you hear people talking about how bad things are in Washington and how the swamp is filled with all sorts of corruption and so forth and so on? And that's true. We know that that is true. However, people do not realize preaching that goes on there, praying that goes on there. I mean, Dave, you said that the Senate sounded like a labor room. And when you said that, I thought, well, maybe that's because a revival is being birthed right there in the Senate chambers. And so I think it'd be great for the American people to learn more about that. Of course, that's why we're talking about it on the program today, too.
You know, Gary, hang on just a second, Dale, I'm going to come to you in a second. But what's interesting to me is that revival, spiritual revival and political renewal or political activity, oftentimes historically in the United States of America, have gone hand in hand. Right. In fact, I was just reading yesterday from one historian who said that, I'll just read you the statement. He said the religious enthusiasm of the Second Great Awakening in the United States was echoed by a new political enthusiasm. And then he goes on and says this: while Protestant religion had previously played an important role on the American political scene, the Second Great Awakening strengthened that role that it would play. In other words, as political activity, that is a move toward righteousness, occurs, it can be followed by a religious awakening, or the religious awakening itself can prompt the political move toward righteousness. Dale, I want to go to you and get your comments on this, because you were an eyewitness to everything we saw there in D.C. this past week. Do you believe as a preacher of the gospel, as someone who has been intimately involved in the affairs of the state of Tennessee from a political perspective and now a little bit more on the national scene, do you believe, because we were told, Dale, we were told there are more Christians in Congress right now than any time in modern history, perhaps any time since 1776. What do you think that means for the future of not only the United States of America, but the future of the gospel and the cause of Christ as we move forward?
Well, I believe it will free up the pulpit. I believe it will free up many pastors that are out there that are concerned about dealing with these issues. If they get rid of the Johnson Amendment, then the pulpit is totally, totally freed, even though from our pulpits, we speak very clearly anyway, because, I mean, we're conservatives, and we believe it, we're going to preach it. But I believe this is going to unhamper those. And I believe, brethren, that it is further going to demark the liberals in the pulpit, and it is going to clearly demark the real men of God that will deal with the issues. And as David Barton gives us the statistics on those that want to hear the issues from the pulpit, they want their preacher to preach on what's going on in the nation. They want them to preach about the laws that are coming up, and they want their preachers to be informed. And our last caller, Ed, talked about us, you know, live streaming this. And one of the speakers at the Capitol spoke about the liberal media. You cannot believe the liberal media. All the Bible studies, all the events, one of the threads of conversation was, you know, we have Bible studies up here every day. I know my representative, you know, Diane Black, spoke to me personally about how many times they have Bible study. There is a definite move at the top in Washington for revival.
Friends, 22 formally organized Bible studies occur every week in our nation's capital. That is in addition to what Brother Dale just shared, and that is there are some unofficial Bible studies that are conducted as well. So God is on the move in our nation's capital. Friends, I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you are encouraged to continue to pray that God will bring to full fruition the revival for which we have been earnestly petitioning Him. We're going to take a 72-hour break and return on Monday with more Stand in the Gap Today. Have a great weekend.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM.